You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We're pleased to announce that this season The Spurs Show is sponsored by Greene King Sport, where football is more than a game. Greene King Sport venues are showing every single televised Spurs fixture over the 23-24 season. And with more than 900 sports pubs across the UK, it doesn't matter whether you're based in Tottenham or Tyneside, you can catch every single minute of the action. And keep an eye out during the season for events, offers, content and competitions that put you closer to the action with Greene King Sport.
Glory, glory, Tottenham Hotspur. Glory, glory, Tottenham Hotspur. Glory, glory, Tottenham Hotspur. And the Spurs go marching on.
Well, hello Spurs fans around the world. Welcome to another Spurs show. It's Theo Delaney here in North London. I am beside myself with excitement. Spurs are playing with freedom and great creative expression. Not only that, they're winning. People are saying, we've got our Tottenham back. No, we haven't. We've got something much better. We've lost our old Tottenham. We've got something much better. Robbie Williams singing, literally singing our praises, literally, and the praises of Ange Postecoglou. We've got Fulham away coming up, and the manager says he's going to make changes, not because he undervalues the competition, because he wants to win the game and he wants fresh legs. There are rumours flying around, inevitably, in the last week of the transfer market. Young Brendan Johnson, the fleet-footed Forest forward, is the one we've been linked with most fervently today. And meanwhile, Harry Kane is scoring freely in the Bundesliga. And it's not even making us sad. We're actually happy for him. This is the state of play. Let's make the most of it, because surely it cannot last. I am delighted to welcome two learned guests today, two Tottenham writers, highly esteemed writers. Kimberly Chambers is back. How are you, Kim?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm buzzing with it all. Absolutely buzzing. Not been as this buzzing in years.
Well, exactly. I feel the same. And Julie Welch, who is the actual official biographer of Tottenham Hotspur. I feel a new edition coming on, Julie.
Yeah. Let's give it a few weeks. I'm sure. I was just thinking that today. Today, I have been walking in a Klinsmann wonderland.
Yeah.
Just reliving that great Klinsmann-Sheringham season in 1994-95, yes, when we had that proper strike partnership. And just thinking, I wish, you know, And it all ended in tears, obviously.
Yeah.
But I just got that sort of mood. You know, I feel so optimistic. We've got a proper bloke in charge now, not some sort of hand-flapping, you know, fancy dress bloke, you know, throwing dramas all over the place. We've got a proper bloke.
That's it. We have. Right. He really is. He's like your favourite uncle. That's what he's like, Ange Postecoglou. And It's funny you mentioned that Famous Five team, actually, because now that you mention it, I remember when we bought Klinsmann, I was completely lost my mind. And I was going to all the away games at the beginning of that season because it was just so incredibly exciting. We were playing such attacking football. We had the Famous Five up front.
And shit four at the back.
Well, we had 4-1-5, as I remember. That was the formation. Yeah, we had people like Stuart Nethercott playing. It was absolutely, you know, with great respect to Stuart Nethercott, shit. He wasn't. I'm sorry, Stuart. That's unfair. But, yeah, I mean, you know, he wasn't of the required standard, shall we say. Poor old Colin Calderwood was one-man midfield, whereas this team got all of that amazing forward play. We've got, like, I mean, Madison is like the new, you know, I mean, people call him the new Ericsson. That's the very least of it. He could become even more than that, I think. And then you look at Son and Kulu and Richarlison, all right, underperforming so far. But, I mean, we're still winning even before he's clicked in. You know, and people like Basuma, you know, and Saar are such class acts in the midfield. And we got backup people coming off the bench. I'm completely carried away. Can someone calm me down? Kimberly, we've been here before, haven't we? We've had these dawns before. I mean, we've talked about the Klinsmann era. We can talk about the other thing that it reminds me of is when Pochettino really got in. But Pochettino took quite a few weeks before he got it going, and this guy's just hit the ground running. How concerned are you, Kim, are you having to slap yourself around the face a couple of times every now and then? So, for Christ's sake, it's early days.
I mean, I really did. I didn't expect him to hit the ground running like this. I really, really didn't. I thought he was going to have to wait until where we had such a crap pre-season as well. We didn't really get the games in. Didn't end up playing Roma, and you know, you had the other one was rained off, and you know, so we hadn't had the pre-season like any manager would wish for. And obviously, we've travelled a lot as well. And I just really didn't think. I thought the players. It just looks to me, for once, like we've got signings right. We've had such bad luck. Oh, poor picking of signings, poor management, poor whatever. I mean, you know, who picked Ndombele? Who picked some of these, you know? Yeah. But for once, it looks like we've not just picked good players, we've picked players with the personality to fit in a dressing room as well. You know, you know, young, vibrant, decent, human beings that want to do well for the club, do you know? And it just, like, but the way, I don't think many Spurs fans will have expected the newbies to come. I mean, Madison is just incredible. I keep going to call him Van der Vaart, isn't it?
Yeah,
he just looks amazing. I mean, he's only a young fella. Even that first game, I mean, he'd have one training session before that, and he just slotted in there. He looks like a young Vertonghen to me. Yeah. And like, I mean, Udogi, I mean, what an incredible signing. And Pep and Saar, I mean, I don't know if Patrice is still with the club somehow, isn't he? Is he?
Well, if he is, it's unofficially. I mean, he's officially left. But I mean, I don't know.
He's a consultant.
Is he?
Yeah, well, let's keep him. I don't care how dodgy he is. Keep him as a consultant. Let's pick that lot up. He can go and rob a bank and he can still be employed as far as I'm concerned. As long as he finds us another Saar, Udogi, Madison and Van der Ven.
But isn't it amazing that Paratici, you know, we had Udogi last season, but we let him go out on loan. All right, he was young. But we had Bissouma last season and Saar. And they were not given a run in. I mean, people say, okay, Basuma played a couple of games. He didn't have great games, but he wasn't given a chance to bed in. And Saar played a couple of times exceptionally well, and then never got picked again for weeks and then afterwards. So and like you say, yeah, Paratici's bought those players. He must have had, we assume, some sort of rapport with Conte, and yet I don't know. Conte just seemed like he'd gone crackers when you look at those teams now.
The last two managers didn't want to be there. Let's be honest, both of them acted like they were doing us a massive favour by even sitting on our bench. Finally, we've got a guy that only plays front foot football, and the style. Do you know what? I don't think I've been supporting Spurs since 1977. Like, you know, every season watching. I used to go home and away all the time. I don't go so much now, but you know. But I've never seen such crap football as the last few seasons. I couldn't even bear to watch it. It was just so bloody dull. And just to have a manager to come out and play like that, we don't ask for a lot, do you know? The one thing we do ask for is effort and, you know, exciting, entertaining football and, like, a bit of passion from the players. And that's what we're going to get, you know. But it just looks like, for, I've got a real good feeling. I'm not saying we're going to go out and, you know, win trophies or anything this season, but I'm positive for once we've got the right man. Let's hope Daniel backs him this time, because last time we had the right man, he wasn't backed, you know. Let's hope this man gets, you know. I know we've got a lot of players on our books, and I know we've got to either shred contracts or get rid of, you know, whatever, but that we do still need a couple of players, couple of three maybe, before the window ends, depending on who goes out. And let's hope, you know, let's hope he gets backed, like, because with the start he's had, like, I'm just hoping Daniel Levy's not sitting there thinking, oh, this is good. You know, we're all right. Yeah. You've got to think of the future, injuries, suspensions. Yeah. It's a long old season. So let's just hope that, but no, it's incredibly exciting. I mean, I've really got my zest back for football. Because, you know, who wants to go over there and sit and watch that crap we've had to put up with and endure the last few seasons? Nobody, you know? But to go over there now and just watch a decent game of football, I can't wait to get me butt over there
absolutely.
Again, to be honest.
And it's funny you say that about it, sort of rekindles your enthusiasm for football. It's exactly the same with me. I can't stop watching any football all of a sudden. I'm watching match of the day, more, you know, if I'm not watching it, well, I'm watching it the next day. I'm watching all the bloody, it's driving my wife absolutely up the wall, because I've always been obsessed, but I've become renewed kind of football madness has taken over. I managed to somehow get hold of a couple of tickets for tomorrow night, because I can't bear the thought of Spurs playing and it's not on the telly and not seeing it. So I'm going down Fulham tomorrow night. I'm not normally a regular. I only go to a couple of away games a season, but it feels like it's back in the Klinsmann mania days for me, which is, I went totally bonkers at that point, and it looks like I might be headed that way again. But it's interesting you say, Kim, he does need to be backed, and now is the time to back him, because if he doesn't back him in the next 3 or 4 days, we're going to have to wait till after Christmas before we can back him again. So, Julie, do you think, looking at what I would say, I think most people have come to this conclusion that we need backup in the centre of defence. We love the look of Romero and VDV, but we do need backup there, because at the moment the backup is Davinson Sanchez, who looks like he might be reborn under this manager, but even that's only one. Tanganga, don't know. Dyer looks like he's been frozen out altogether. And then up front, Richarlison, as I said, is the only one who's misfiring. I still think he may well come good, but there's not much backup up front. Kulusevski obviously had a good game at the weekend, scored his goal, very good goal. And Son, I thought, had a good game as well, because there were some doubts about them. Julie, what do you think we should get? What do you think he might get? Or are you worried he might just...
I think he's going to stick.
Pretend myself, he's lost his wallet.
I think he's going to stick. There's fatal thing where you read, you know, negotiations are still going on for blah, 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 Brennan Johnson, for instance, that it's going to be very late if it happens, which is always the classic thing, that on the end of, you know, 1 minute before midnight, transfer deadline day, it hasn't happened. I just have a feeling about it. In a way, I don't care, because we've got enough. I'm hoping Richarlison's going to come good, but I get slight Vinnie Jansen vibes from him, I must say.
Really? That's harsh.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, when you remember poor Vinnie Jansen sort of driving away, Richarlison was just like that at the weekend. Yeah. You know, he was trying. He couldn't get his feet in order, all that sort of stuff. I think, I don't know, has his confidence gone? I'm not sure, because there is one very confident guy there. I mean, you know, if you remember him showboating last season, you know, cock of the walk, so to speak. So I don't quite know. I just think he was bought as a Kane replacement last season or whenever, when they thought Kane was going to definitely go. And I think then it was quite clear that he wasn't quite right. And I'd not had much of a sort of buzz from him when I saw him playing for Everton, for instance. And I think, sometimes think, if you buy from Everton, you know, you're not going to get got whack, are you? especially these days. Everton.
Bobby Mims. Remember Bobby Mims?
Yeah. Bobby Mims, please. But I mean, you know, Everton is the sort of club we offload players onto. It's a new whole city, basically. Yeah. And so
the mystery about him, though, is that he is, as many people say over and over again, he is Brazil's number nine. He's their starting centre forward.
Scored that fantastic World Cup goal.
I think it got goal of the competition. I think that goal.
Yeah. And not great.
And he's not an obvious. He's not like Jürgen Klinsmann to watch. He doesn't look like a natural, you know, gifted craftsman or artist. But his record is good. I mean, if you talk to Everton fans, they loved him. They absolutely loved him. They will tell you that he kept him up, basically, on his own when he was there.
And yeah, of course, but we don't want a striker who's going to keep us up, do we?
That's the thing. True.
It's levels, basically. Amazing looking guy, and he's got all his sort of adorable tricks and everything like that. I'd be really happy to be proved wrong. I really would. I mean, he'll probably go and score against Fulham now, or get a brace, you know, maybe his first hattie, something like that. Don't know. Yeah. But
if he picks him. Yeah.
Well, there is that. So who have we got? We're chasing Gift Orban.
Yeah, Gift Orban has been a rumour that's been going around but he's very interesting because he's actually incredibly raw. I mean, he's only been in the Belgian top flight for, I think, a season and a bit. But he looks incredible. He looks like an unstoppable force, incredibly strong, incredibly quick, good touch and a ruthless finisher. But that's what he looks like when you see the footage. But is that... You know, he was by no means proven at any kind of high level because, of course, the Belgian League is not a high level and there's no guarantee of anything. And as I say, he's only been doing it a year there. So I think he would be a punt, but they'd have to spend, you know, a lot of money. So I mean, I don't know if that appeals to, who knows whether that appeals to Levy or not. He sometimes he likes a punt because he thinks it's something he can make money on later and sell him on, you know. And he is young and raw. He could be a £30 million player who's worth £100 million in 12 months' time, you know.
Well, you know, maybe we got Jimmy Greaves vibes, you know, when you started, was it 1957 at Chelsea? This is obviously before everybody's time except mine because I'm so old. but, you know, Chelsea were a crap side and he was sort of keeping them from the drop and things like that. Then he was what, 17? Incredibly raw. Although then again, I don't think Jimmy Greaves ever looked raw at all. I think he was like Glenn Hoddle. He just sort of emerged perfectly.
Born to it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. This other guy, Velis, is it?
Yeah, the one they've already bought. Yeah, yeah, I mean, he's obviously one for the future as well. Everyone keeps saying, oh, he's not ready. Well, how unready is he? Because they did pay money for him and he's not that young. What is he, 19 or something like that? Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but they're saying he's not ready. It's interesting, I think, that Ange has said he will rotate a bit. Oh, that's probably not the right word. That's not the word he would use. But he's saying he wants to make changes for this Fulham game. But this Fulham game suddenly becomes a really big game because we've got momentum. We really want to maintain it. And, you know, now we look like a side that could really go deep into the cups. We're only in two cups, of course. So this is a game we absolutely must go out and win and also maintain, as I say, maintain our momentum. So it'd be interesting. How do you think he might switch it around, Kim? Who do you think he might? Because he's talking about giving players a rest because he says the way we play is incredibly tiring. So we need to give some players a rest and get some fresh legs in there.
I can't see him chopping about with we haven't really. I mean, even on the bench Saturday, there wasn't an actual centre forward on there, was there?
No, I don't think we've really
got Solomon on there, but perhaps he might give Solomon a run out. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it all depends, I think, with the training. He'll know through the training session since the weekend who's more tired, who's, you know, sharp. And it'll probably be more to do with that. But I can't see him doing what previous managers have done and like putting out. I think he's a man that will want to go out with a very strong team, like, you know, for the Fulham. And we need to Fulham away. They got a good result At the weekend, a brilliant result, actually. Yes. I quite enjoyed that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that late goal, it was a nice one. But I mean, you know, you can't underestimate. And I think he will put the strongest team out available with the freshest players available. Obviously, it's hard to say who.
Yeah.
I can't see him swapping keepers and all that palaver like we've done in the past.
No, no.
And funny enough, we didn't mention him, really. We haven't mentioned him. He's another one.
He's done well, hasn't he?
It's hard to come in as a new keeper. Yeah. And, you know, I think he's done bloody well. I really do. You know, yeah. I think he's come in. I never mentioned him with the new signings. But, yeah. No, he's done incredibly well. It must be very nervy because as a keeper, you're on your own. There's nobody to help you out with a mistake.
Absolutely.
And I think he's done so well so far. I really do.
Yeah, I like the look of him a lot. He's good with the ball at his feet. He's made some good saves, really good saves. He looks the part, doesn't he? The big, tall lad.
Yeah.
And, he's looked unfazed. And as you say, he's only 25. And, he hadn't played that long at the top in Italy, but they really rated him in Italy. They really thought he'd had an amazing season.
Did they? I didn't know much about what he was thought about in Italy, yeah.
Well, they reckoned the best, from what I could gather, they reckon the best keeper in Italy was that Onana, who's gone to Man United.
Mm.
But they reckon the best young keeper in Italy was definitely him, and he was the coming man. And he was only really second to Onana in Serie A last year in terms of how respected he was as a goalkeeper. And
good.
So he was good. I think he's looking like another very, you know, well-judged purchase.
Yeah.
Which is bloody hell. I mean, what's happened? What is this, like a revolution? Paratici being consultant is actually a great thing, because actually, if you remember, do you remember in Goodfellas where they all went to prison, but it's like they weren't really in prison, they were cooking, weren't they? Do you remember they had slicing the garlic with the old razor blades and tossing the old tomato sauce with the spaghetti? I like this idea of Paratici in prison, just on the old payphone to Levy and just saying, yes, I don't worry, I got us another centre ball. Very very reasonable. You just give me my usual commission, Mr. Levy, and my consultant's fee. I could see him doing that. I could see him, even if he does. I don't know if what his current legal state of affairs is, whether he's still possibly going to get banged up. I don't know. I really don't know. I tell you one thing I have noticed, which I'm intrigued by, is that this guy, Scott Munn, do you remember him being announced, what, 3-4 months ago?
Yeah, has he not turned up yet?
He's not turned up.
He's the invisible Munn.
Yeah. The invisible man, exactly. What on earth has happened there? I think I heard somewhere someone say, oh, he was in breach of his gardening leave, Man City, because he was owned basically by the City Group, which is Man City.
Yeah.
And he jumped ship, and obviously they said, right, well, you're under contract, so you're gonna have to go on gardening leave. And that meant, in theory, that he couldn't start until I think it was July or August. I think it was July, actually. But then July's come and gone. August is practically gone, and there's no sign of him. I think somebody said, oh, yeah, he got spotted, you know, speaking to Levy somewhere, and the lawyers got involved, and now they've said, right, that's it. You've done that, so you can't start for another 6 months or something. But it's so weird. They haven't said anything about it.
What position is he going to take? It's not director of football, is it?
No, not in the sense that Paratici was. It's going to be, I think it's managing director of the football side. So that what I think his responsibilities are running the structure of the club. So not so much to do with transfers and scouting, but he would be above that. So he would hire and fire all the transfer and scouting and analytical people. He'd make decisions about the structure of the women's team and the various, you know, youth under 21 and all that. And and report only to Levy. So he'd be like the second. And by all accounts, came with a good CV. I think he already knew Postecoglou, which may have been something to do with Postecoglou getting the job, you know, I think, because obviously they're both Australian. I think they worked together at some point. I can't remember what club it was. But, you know, no sign of him. But maybe he's also doing a Paratici. He's doing it by phone from somewhere, from a garden. Because that's where he's been told to stay. Yeah. He's in a garden somewhere with a
clipping
mobile.
His roses.
Yeah, exactly. A pair of secateurs, just in case anyone photographs him. But they're great. I mean, again, it's so funny. When you're winning and playing well, none of this worries you. Imagine if we'd had 1 point from 3 games. We'd be going, and as for that Scott Munn, there's no sign of him. You've got Harry Kane scoring for fun in Germany. And what are we doing? We've got this job, bloody dodgy. I mean, the thing about this, him hitting the ground running, is Everybody said, look, he's great. He plays great football. He has never failed wherever he's gone. He always, but the one thing he will tell you, and everyone will tell you from where he's been before, he starts slow. The results aren't good for the first half dozen games or so because he's still trying to imbue his, if that's the word, his methods, his philosophy into the group. So don't expect him to pull up. And here we are. These games were not easy games, you know. I think Brentford away is a tough fixture. All the big clubs failed to win their last season with the exception of the Goons. Man United, we never beat Man United. You know, it's extremely rare for us to beat Man United. And we, by the end of that game, they were demoralised. And, you know, Bournemouth are no mugs. They've got rich owners. They've bought a lot of good players. They've got a very, very highly rated manager, a sort of messiah manager in the same sort of, you know, mould as Postecoglou, really. He did amazing things in Spain. So it's not easy to go to Bournemouth and just and win 2-0. By no means. I mean, we've been keeping clean sheets last 2 games.
I know, it's mad.
So he's confounded us all by not only being great and delivering the football we want, but by starting really well. Now, obviously, we're setting ourselves up here for the most...
For Burnley away.
Yeah. Burnley away does worry me a lot. It's a tough place to go, as they say. Horrible, bleak, northern place. But also...
I'm glad it's in the afternoon, Theo. It's an afternoon kick-off. So bad. We would in the evening worries me more.
Absolutely,
or 12 o'clock lunchtime, but an afternoon kickoff.
Well,
is better.
Burnley in the dark is a place you know you wouldn't want anyone to go that you cared about, basically.
No.
But but yeah, you're right. 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
It's good. The only trouble is that Vincent Kompany, I think he's a cute manager, and they lost. They haven't started well, so he'll have them so up for it. But then, you know, we're up for it every game, aren't we?
It's Burnley, though. It's Burnley. Honestly.
Yeah.
I'm in the mood now. I mean, in the past, even with Pochettino, every time we were due to play Norwich City, say, or West Brom, I was always terrified. But I feel no fear. It's the first time I've sort of looked forward to a match without fear. I mean,
yeah,
I was a bit apprehensive about United because I thought they'd do us and then bring, you know, burst the bubble. But it didn't happen. And so I thought, well, you know, this is different. This bloke has stopped everybody feeling afraid.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For premium content, including a daily news show, ex-player interviews, and original documentary series on Spurs, go to patreon.com/Spurs Show and support our show in the process. Spurs Show merchandise, and there are new t-shirt designs with a kangaroo instead of a cockerel and a host of other eye-catching designs. Check them out and be the envy of all your friends. Our monthly London live show returns next month. Sign up and join us at season.spursshow.net. We'll be announcing the lineup shortly. And do follow us on Facebook, X, and Instagram. And please leave us a nice review on Apple Podcasts. That really helps us a lot. Thanks a lot. Yeah, that's exactly it, isn't it? They're not going into games thinking, how do we contain the opposition? How do we make sure we don't concede before half time? Which is all that Mourinho and Conte were all about. He's going into games saying, we do one thing. We are relentless. We go for it. We keep the ball and we keep trying to score, even when we're winning. You know, I mean, that's complete anathema to people like Conte and Mourinho. Even when we're winning, we keep going. We just keep going. So it's a horrible nightmare for the other team because we just never give them any breathing space. And that's why the use of substitutes also is extremely impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, because they've always got that dread that Perisic is going to come on with his walking frame, you know, you know, 20 minutes to go or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get those exquisite passes and everything like that. It's just fantastic. Yeah, I hope they don't get rid of Perisic because I think he's great.
I think Perisic and Højbjerg coming off the bench. I mean, you think, oh, God, brilliant. Retiring a bit, what are we going to do? And then you bring on two extremely seasoned, grown-up, very experienced international footballers who've done it all, played in World Cups, played in the Champions League, played in the Euros, done it all, and they come on, and they're incredibly sensible. They know what to do. You know,
both did so well.
Yeah, Ben Davis is like that. Played in World Cups, played in the Champions League, comes on, knows what to do. Solid.
Yeah.
Skippy comes on with an incredible engine and just gives it everything. And it's like, you know, if you're the other team, you think, oh, my God, there's no end to this. It's like it's just incessant. And that five sub thing, that really helps this method of playing, doesn't it? I wonder if it would have been possible when you only had one or two subs. It might not have been actually possible to play this way. And it's interesting.
Especially when you've got a young side like ours, like they are now. It's so good to see we're a young side again, 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds. And yes, when the going gets a bit tough, like it did second half, start of the second half, you know, it's time to perhaps change it around and bring on some older heads. And that's exactly what it did. And it worked fantastically. You know, but do you know what I like? I like the way he did it early in the second half. There was no waiting and hanging on. It was right. This is the time to change. I don't know what it was. What was the 60th minute or something around that? Was it? Yeah. And he just out there. It was the perfect substitutions, and it changed the game back again. We got the goal 4 minutes later. So
he doesn't mind who he takes off either. You know, in that first game at Brentford, he took off Son. Son wasn't playing very well, and he just took him off. There was no, like, you know, whereas you can think of other managers think, oh, I'm not sure I want it. I've just made him captain. He's the senior pro. What's he going to say to everyone? What's he going to say to him? Is he going to is he going to be pissed off with me? Are the other players going to think, hold on a minute, he's taking the skipper off? No, he's not playing that well. Get him off. Get someone else on. And on Saturday, I thought it was, you know, Richarlison, who'd done okay first half, but he hadn't been lucky in front of goal. Then, second half, you could see his confidence wasn't all that, and then he trod on the ball, didn't he? He's trod on the ball. So, again, your first instinct is, oh, you've got to keep him on now for 20 minutes, because if you take him off now, you know, his confidence is shattered anyway. No, he looks at him and thinks, what Ange thinks is, his confidence gone. I'm getting him off now. I'm not leaving him on to rebuild his confidence. I'm getting him on because all he cares about is the game, the attack, scoring goals and winning games. So he's a total pragmatist in that way. And I think the players get that. We'll get that really quickly and realise it's nothing to do with other issues. Nothing is ever to do with anything other than playing to win the game.
Yeah.
And I love that. I think it's refreshing. No politics. Yeah.
I think it's psychologically good for players as well, because all players really want to know is what they've got to do. And if you've got a bloke who's taking control and, you know, taking decisions off you, got a flub there, sorry, taking the decisions off you, then it's sort of relaxing, isn't it? You know, oh, well, I did that, I've done this, didn't work, right, I'm off for now. Probably with the knowledge that they'll get another chance. You know, I do think this is not a guy like Mourinho. You know, there are no sort of feuds and things like that. There's no agenda with players, stuff like that. This bloke just seems completely straightforward to me.
What must he think, the geezer, though, Theo? I mean, he ain't been here 5 minutes. He's got Robbie Williams him. I mean, he must think, like, Jesus, where have I come? You know, I mean, I knew they were in trouble, the club. They won nothing, but I've only been in charge of 3 games, and I've got one of the world's greatest singers singing songs about me, you know?
I tell you what, apparently it's on the front page of all the Australian tabloids. It's all of the tabloids in Australia have got it on the front page. But as soon as I saw I mean, it went everywhere, didn't it? It went absolutely everywhere immediately. How on earth that came about, I don't know. He's a massive Port Vale fan.
I'm wondering if the guitarist who smiles at the end of it when he says, I suppose I'm a Spurs. I'm wondering if the geezer on the guitar's a Spurs fan or something.
Oh, I think he must be. I think he must be the Spurs fan. But how he managed to persuade him?
He's been notified of it. And Yeah, but it was the at the end of it when he says, I suppose that means I'm a Spurs. You see the guy next to him smile, like, yeah, you know, yeah. So maybe yeah. he's the Spurs fan. And he said, come on, Rob, you've got to do this, mate. Yeah. You know,
I think it is. I think that's what it is. And actually,
oh, it's fantastic.
It's done, Robbie, it's done Robbie Williams no harm because suddenly he's on the front pages all over Australia.
It gave me goosebumps listening to that when I first heard it.
It was quite bizarre, really, wasn't it? Were you thinking, what is brilliant. Going on there? We played three games.
You know, I think suddenly everybody loves Spurs again.
Yeah.
We stopped being a laughing stock.
Yeah.
I haven't heard somebody say Spursy for a long time this season.
Yeah, that's gone. What were you going to say before, Julie, before you went?
I was just wondering what sort of season Son is going to have. You know, whether he's got through the issues of last season when he wasn't right. He just had a hernia operation, is that right? Something like that?
Yeah, he'd been carrying that injury all season, but he never talked about it. Yeah. But that was one of the reasons why he had, by his standards, a poor season. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the loss of his striking partner. I mean, I wonder what's going to happen. Is he going to find somebody else? Is he dating again?
Yeah, in that position, he's so much about pace and directness and all that. And sometimes those players go into decline earlier than other players in other positions, don't they? Because it's so much about athleticism and pace and stamina. So I hope, and then, but some of them seem to be able to carry on despite that. So hopefully he can carry on, or sometimes they adapt and become slightly different types of, I mean, if you look at Ryan Giggs, for example. Ryan Giggs was an incredible, wasn't he? Lung busting winger, if you think of that great goal he scored against the Goons that time in the Cup semi-final, but he was still young. But then he played till he was nearly 40 because he was able to do other things and adapt. I think with Son, he's at that stage now, 30, with those sorts of players where anything could happen. He did have a poorish season last season, but as we then found out he had an injury, he also was being asked to do stupid things by Conte, all about, you know, staying solid and keeping the shape. And really, you know, we're seeing the folly of that generally with a lot of players here that are finding finding it. Well, as soon as Conte left, actually, Son had a renaissance immediately, had a mini renaissance. So, I agree with you. Son is one of those players where we don't know yet. I think he's played okay these last couple of games. He's done some good things. For example, he played the 1-2 with Udogie for that sublime Kulusevski goal. I mean, both goals were brilliant, weren't they? They were brilliant goals in the Postecoglou mould because they were great build-up, quick, accurate passing, ideas, angles. I mean, Udogie, I can't believe how good he is. It's just extraordinary, isn't it? So all of a sudden it's like Danny Rose at his best is back.
Yeah.
And that is high praise because when Danny Rose was at his best, it's probably the best left back I've ever seen play at Tottenham. And that's how Udogie, on the basis of these three games, looks that
standard. It's incredible.
He's so mobile.
Unbelievable. He's got everything.
Yeah. I thought he was going to be good. I did a bit of research on him, like when he was like, I sort of looked at it, watched what he did a bit last season and bits and bobs, you know. And obviously, you sign a player, you've never heard of him, and you look up and whatnot. But so I had a feeling he was going to be good, but not this good, not to come in and hit the ground. I didn't even know if he'd start at first, if I'm honest.
I mean, he's very young, he's barely 20, isn't he? He's just 20, I think.
Wow.
It's incredible. But he looks like, I mean, I've got, all my children are older than him. I mean, when I think of that, I just think, what? What the hell?
Really, them new signings are really at the ground. I mean, James Maddison looks like he's been, I mean, he was born to play for Spurs. Yeah. He's another one that's going to get that song, I think, because he was just literally, the way he's come in, hit the ground, ruled that midfield. We've been crying out for a James Maddison, but he is perfect for Spurs. Absolutely perfect.
He's so confident,
you know, he can take a free kick. We've been crying out for a free kick taker. He's marvellous. He's going to be a legend. There he is, mate, I'll tell you.
I mean, with him, you've just got to praise stays fit because it doesn't matter who you buy. You're not, there are very few of him around. I mean, we know that because we haven't had one for so long, but I mean, you're not going to get anyone. I mean, at the moment, theoretically, Lo Celso is back up, but you know, Lo Celso came on, didn't he? He did okay, but I mean, there's no real backup.
He played well in pre-season, Theo, when I saw him. He looked good in pre-season. He really did.
Yeah, but they're still talking about him maybe going. And if he does go,
That would have got to replace him if he goes. I'd like to see him stay, I would, because I suppose they're going to flog who don't get the dosh for, aren't they, you know? But you know what Levy's like? He'd flog his grandmother if the price was right.
Exactly. That's the problem. Maybe we better off cut our losses. If someone said, listen, do you want to just shut the transfer window now? He'd probably just say, yes, please. Just shut it. You don't know who he's going to flog.
You really do need Lo Celso there for backup, because he was good in pre-season. He came on and did all right the weekend. And as you said, if Madison does get injured, pick up Knox, I mean, you know, we've got to have somebody, but you can't afford out of all of them. You don't want him to go because he is the cover for him.
Yeah. I mean, he is also slightly fragile. He does get injuries, Madison, during the course of a season. He is slightly prone to it. So, yeah, that would be. I mean, there are certain players. It's the same as when Poch was flying, which basically is the last time we felt like this, is when Poch was flying, wasn't it? And there were certain players. We had two players for every position. We really did when things were going well. But there were certain players you just thought, don't really want to go a few games without him. And I think Madison is the one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I like Lachelle, so he's just not going to be like Madison, because there isn't really another Madison around anywhere. I mean, what I love is his confidence and his impudence. I mean, did you see that thing with the
corner?
Yeah, so funny. He gets so much stick, but he just enjoys it and thinks it's funny. So he's deliberately put the ball outside the quadrant. Oh, the fans, oi! Why are you cheating? And he just smiles up and puts it back in, because he's just playing like a violin.
He seems like a really great guy to have in the dressing room. I mean, a future captain, really. He just seems like I do think, funny enough, we're saying about the captaincy. Obviously, we've always seen Sonny as the joker and Sonny as the playing the little boy role. When I heard him speak first time as captain, he made it. He was so sensible. He made it. I think it was a great choice making him captain. He's a Madison vice captain, is he?
They've got two vice captains, Madison and Romero. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was an interesting choice, wasn't it, Romero?
Yeah.
Well, Romero, we were worried about Romero for a long time, weren't we? First of all, if you remember, when he turned up, he'd only been there a couple of weeks, and he asked for permission to go to Argentina to play a couple of not very important games, and they said, no, you can't go. So he just fucked off anyway on a private jet. He'd only been there a few weeks. And you think, I think he might have a slight attitude problem. And then you look at him kicking shit out of people and getting sent off all over the place and like looking generally like mental. But I think this summer he's gone some way to rebuilding his image. I think that maybe the people around him have said, look, you know, you can make a go of this here. They like you and you're the best defender they've got. So you could really do well here. And the better you do here, you know, you can either make a great career and reputation here or you can go somewhere else. But you've got to do well here first. And he's been making good noises and he's been doing interviews and things and talking about how much he loves it, how much he loves the club, how much he cares about paying for the club. And I think, you know, giving him that vice captaincy presumably was a result of that. Also, you've got to give those positions to people that are going to play. And actually, what I was saying earlier, some of these players you don't want to be. And Romero is the most important linchpin at the back there, isn't he, really? Because he's the one now who's the most experienced. He is top class. He's also rock hard, which is what you need. You need at least one who's like that. I mean, like you say, VDV. I mean, he has started so well, but he's enormous and he's like a Ferrari, isn't he? He's so quick.
He's confident. He's confident on the ball as well. He's just got that Vertonghen look about him to me. Yeah. He's like a young Vertonghen. And same, I think it must be better for Romero to, like, you know, after playing with like different sort of, you know, perhaps not as thingy as him. Maybe that's why he got sent off a lot, because he's done a lot and got booked a lot, because he's trying to cover up others' mistakes.
Yeah.
To sort of build a partnership now with a really quality centre half.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be good for the pair of them, really. Do you know, it's, and he's obviously a World Cup winner, isn't he? So, is he a World Cup winner?
Yeah, absolutely. He was in the team.
Yeah, so... he's gonna, you know, it's good for the pair of them, like, and it's looking positive, very positive.
It's looking positive. You know, what we need to do now, but because obviously we've got two games to preview here, so we should talk about this Fulham game. If he makes, as he says he's going to, purely because he wants fresh legs, no other reason, he wants to win the game 100%. He is not in any way undervaluing this competition. But if he said he's going to make changes. Let's say, for example, he brings in, we know that he likes Emerson Royale, because he's played him, and we know that he likes Skip. We know he seems to like Horbier. So let's say he brings in those three, maybe rests Porro and maybe Bissouma and Sarr, because they're such high energy, you know, tasks that they've been performing. And maybe he brings Solomon in and gives either Son or Kulusevski a rest. If he does those things, which he said he's going to do things like that, he might even bring Davinson Sanchez in beside Romero or something. Does it worry you? Do you think we can still go to Fulham and get through this round, Julie?
I think that's going to be difficult. If I don't want to be down on Dav Sanchez, but I think he is so flaky. Right.
I mean, you're right. Flaky's the word, because sometimes he's brilliant, isn't he?
I just think it would be too much of a risk. I so badly want us to do well in the cups this season, because that's all we've got. And I think, you know, got to play Romero and VDV.
Okay.
At the back, in the middle. Definitely. Solomon definitely ought to get a run out.
Okay.
Because he knows where the bodies are buried, basically.
That's right. He knows he's Craven Cottage is his old stamping ground, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
I think Skippy would be nice to play, because, you know, he's got this tremendous enthusiasm. He's quite an ordinary player compared to some of them.
Yeah.
But lot of effort. He knows where the goal is. Mm-hmm. I love his face.
Well, that counts for a lot.
Whenever he's given a run, he'll do the business. You know, he's not spectacular. He's a bit like a young Ben Davies in a way. You know, he just quietly gets on with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. So is Daddy Davies going to play? Do you think?
Davies.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might give Udogie, he might, because if you remember all of these players, he can put them on the bench and bring them on if he feels the need, can't he? Exactly. So maybe he will start Ben Davies, And I think because of the bench, and because he's so astute at using the bench, let's say he rests five players but has them all on the bench, and if he wants to bring them on with, you know, an hour gone because we're not winning, why not? Then he'll do that, you know. So I think he very much sees it as a squad game, the 90 minutes, doesn't he? So, yeah, I think he says he's going to make changes, so he will. I still think we might have enough. The other thing is with Fulham, I don't know how seriously they're going to take it. I mean, they might do what other clubs do in this competition and actually not play the first team because they don't consider it important enough, because they might be thinking, well, we've got to stay up. That's our main thing. So let's concentrate on that for now, because we've got a tough draw here. We weren't expecting that they could have got a lower division team or something, but they've got Tottenham. They might just, I don't know. But I'm very excited to be going. I can tell you that. I'm absolutely beside myself, like a small child. I think one of the first away games I ever went to was at Fulham, actually, when I was a little lad. Looking forward after that, Burnley away at the weekend, 3:00 kickoff on a Saturday. We've talked about it a little bit. Julie, you say, it's all very well having all these reservations, but at the end of the day, it's just Burnley. They've only just come up. They shouldn't really be in our class, should they?
No. I think, you know, we've been ruined by so many bad results and disappointments that now we've just got this knee-jerk fear of clubs like Burnley, which I don't think Ange is going to instill any fear into that team that day, the side he picks. It's Burnley. It's almost sort of like, lads, it's Burnley. I think that's got to be the attitude, really. It's Burnley. They're a sort of shit team who sort of really shouldn't be in the Premier League.
Harsh. That's even harsher than when I said it's a place you don't want to send anyone you care about.
I'm not saying
going to come back and bite me in the bum, aren't they? Because we're going to get done 1-0. You know, late goal.
Well, we've seen it so many times. Remember, what was it the other season? I think we beat Man City away and then went to Burnley a few days later and lost. I mean, that was when Conte had just taken charge. Conte tearing.
I called that. I called that on one of the other shows I was on. I called that
result. We'll go and lose there.
Yeah.
Poor old Conti nearly tore his very expensive hair transplant out when he was watching that.
And that's another thing about Ange. It doesn't have a weave.
There won't be any hair transplants there.
He's being an own-up baldy. You've got to respect the man.
Yes, I respect. You've got to respect him for that. As a balding man myself without a hair transplant, I stand with him. I stand with Ange. Kim, what do you think? You called it that time before because you saw we were fragile. Do you think we're still liable to come unstuck at Burnley?
Not really, not this time. But listen, we're three games in. I mean, you know, anyone listening to us, like other, you know, if other clubs listen on to this, fans, they're probably thinking, oh, aren't that not three games in? But no, I've got, as I said to you, I'd be more worried if it was a night game, you know, but perhaps we haven't got players that, you know, now that we've got a different squad. Like, you know, it seems like we've had the rebuild that we've been crying out for years, that Poch cried out for years ago. It seems suddenly, without us noticing it, really, that rebuild is kind of happening all of a sudden, you know? Yeah. I mean, I think I heard him say when I was watching the game the other day, there was only four players on that pitch that started this fixture last year. So
I thought they said it was only four players that started the last game of last season.
They might have done.
Which is
they
amazing. Which when you think about that, that is pretty amazing. That means seven changes since the So I agree with you. Though. It does feel like a rebuild that suddenly happened. But you almost feel like Conte was almost obstructing the rebuild. Because as I say, he had Sarr, he had Bissouma, he had Udogie on the books, you know, and he wasn't picking them. I mean, all right, Udogie went back on loan. But even so, I mean, you know, I mean, you're right. The rebuild has happened. Paratici's delivered. Just when it was almost like when we weren't looking, like you say, we suddenly turn around and say, hold on, what's going on here? We've got a bloody rebuild here.
I'll tell you something I'll never understand, though, going back to Conte. I mean, I can understand, okay, we hired Nuno, it didn't work, it was quick, we got rid of him quick. But, and then I can understand in a way why Daniel would bring in Mourinho, a big name, maybe a quick fix, a cup, the League Cup, something like that. But what I can't understand, like, obviously the brand of football wasn't exciting. It's not what Spurs fans want to watch. And then it goes out and does it again. Another ex-Chelsea, another defence. Yeah. I'll never get my head around how we've gone for two of them on the trot. It's like torture, the pair, you know.
He's not a football man, is he, Levy? He's just not a football man. So he doesn't think in those terms. Shortly before he hired Conte, he said that we were going to get, after all the terrible things that had gone on with Nuno and then Mourinho and then, you know, having no manager at all at the end of the season, he said, we've heard you, we're going to get a manager that knows what is in the Spurs DNA in terms of the style of football. Hold on a minute. What'd you say? Antonio Conte? Oh, yeah, I've heard of him. Yeah. What? He's available. Yeah, get him in. Because he doesn't that's about the level on which his football.
Did you see his Cambridge University interview, Theo?
Yeah.
Was it Cambridge? Yeah. Do you know the bit that struck me in that was there was one question that was asked and they said something about the average Spurs fan and he sort of said, I don't really know what the average Spurs fan is. Well, I do. It was like a working class person like me that used to, like when I was minicabbing or in the markets where I used to work all week, that was my highlight. All my money went on going watching Spurs. Yeah. And you want to be entertained. You don't want to watch your team defend for bleeding 90 minutes. Yeah. And you just don't. That is the average. And I thought when he said, I don't know what the average Spurs fan is, I thought, Jesus wept, Daniel, you need me over there as an advisor.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. He doesn't get that stuff. He gets lots of other stuff. He does it really well, but he doesn't have that. I just don't think he has any feel for abstract things like we have a spirit, we have a philosophy that goes back years at Tottenham, a belief in certain values on the pitch and the way we play. None of that stuff. He doesn't, I mean, it completely, you're talking a foreign language to him. I mean, he's a numbers man, you know, and you know, brilliant in so many ways because of that. But not, I don't
but
think
even if he's a numbers man, Theo, what he's got to realise, you know, if he wants to fill that stadium, okay, we might not win every game, but we want to see a bloody good game, and we want to see entertaining football, yeah, and we want to see us scoring goals. So we don't want to even. I would rather draw bleeding 4-all sometimes than watch that crap I've had to endure the last few years with a 1-0 win. Or say, I really would, because it's just not like watching Spurs.
I agree. I totally agree, but I don't think he understands that at all. And the other problem is the Premier League, such a massive success the world over. He fills that stadium every week, whatever football's being played. Yeah. That's the problem. People have come from miles around and pay him 100 quid to walk through the turnstile, you know.
Going back to Ange, I think with the start Ange has had now, whatever happens from here on in, you know, I think the fans will stick with him and give him time, whatever. And we do need to stick with a manager, and we do need to stick with a manager like Ange. He's got the personality. Yeah. I mean, you were saying about Maddison and that with the corner. Have you seen, do you see his BT comments at the weekend? The little video when they were, he's gone in there. And like it was behind the scenes, they've quickly tried. Geezer's grabbed hold of him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
mic up his top.
Yeah,
and he sort of turned around. And he went, "Jesus, mate, you're forward." He said,
"Introduce yourself first.
Introduce yourself first." You know, he's got a bit of charisma about him.
Yeah, he's funny. He's funny. That's great Australian humor, really, isn't it?
No, he's a good guy.
He's good. We got to wrap it up. But before I do that, I have to force you into the potentially humiliating task of making predictions for both games. I want Fulham predictions first. Julie?
All right. Suddenly, I hate to say this, Theo, but it just jumped into my head. It's another Desmond.
2-2. But then what, does it go to penalties on the night or something like
depends.
That? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Something,
oh,
you know, you get more for your money.
I'll get my money's worth there, sitting there in the old stands. All right. And what about you for Fulham, Kimberly?
2-1 Spurs.
All right. And now Burnley, Kim?
3-1 Spurs.
Julie?
4-0 Spurs.
Whoa! I'm going 3-2 at Fulham to Tottenham. And I'm going for a third 2-0 in the league in a row at Burnley. There you go. How
fantastic.
Unbelievably positive we all are. Let's drink it in and make the most of it, because as you know, you never know what's how this team's gonna, you never know when they're gonna turn around and kick you in the teeth. But no, we're feeling good, we're feeling positive. Kimberly and Julie, thank you so much for joining me on the Spurs show. I've really enjoyed this has been an exhilarating conversation. it's just adding to my overall over excitement. And we'll be back next week, of course, here with plenty to talk about. Two games would have been played by then. But until then, this is Theo Delaney in North London saying, go you Spurs!
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.